Well, I think life is a lot like those old choose-your-own-adventure books that maybe you read when you were a kid, or maybe you read to your kids, because you're going through life, and most of the time, it feels like the story's already written for you, right? Like you reach a certain age, but even if you're younger, you wake up and there's not a lot of choices. You go to school or you go to work or you fix breakfast for the kids or there's sort of a script written for your life, and it happens to all of us at a very young age. But once in a while, a choice comes along. Once in a while, there's a choose your own adventure moment. And the interesting thing about it is we don't even realize it a lot of times. But sometimes it's a really big one, like, hey, choose to, you know, take this promotion and move to another city, or choose to accept this invitation for a date from someone, which is very different if you're young and single versus old and married, and don't do that. But there's these moments where, you know, just in your day-to-day, you're reading the script along, you're getting up, you're going to work, you're going to school, you're doing what you should do and what's sort of laid out before you. And then there's this moment, and it comes along, and you can make a choice. And the interesting thing about that choice is it doesn't just affect that day. It sort of affects every choice from then on, doesn't it? Like, I think about, like, I'm here talking to you this morning because we were living in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Actually, we were living in St. Charles, Missouri. And we chose to move out and help a church in Baltimore, Maryland in 1993. We knew one person out here. And we chose to move 1,000 miles away from our home and leave sort of like our job and our, you know, family. And I had a band at that point. Like all of the things that were our life, and we made one choice, and long story short, yada, 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 as they would say in Seinfeld, like, I'm here today because of that. And so I had no idea that that one choice would change everything afterwards, but it just happens. Now, here's the thing about it, like, having the choice is one thing, but making the right choice is a different thing. So I thought we would sort of learn from R.A. Montgomery, and I hate to break it to you, like, you didn't know him, and, you know, I just threw it out there, and I know it's so sudden, and we've lost him. He's gone. He passed away, but he was the creator of the Choose Your Own Adventure books, and I think had a lot of wisdom. Now, really interesting character once I started checking into his background. The way the entire Choose Your Own Adventure genre started, I mean, he didn't just start a book series, he actually started a genre of books, like, but the way it started is with fatherly laziness, which I can relate to. He was telling stories to his kids every night, and his kids loved this story about shipwrecked Pete. I don't know why, but that's what they loved. And so they'd go, tell us a story, Dad, about shipwrecked Pete. And after a while, he got tired. He said, after months and months and years of, like, telling stories of shipwrecked Pete, he grew tired of trying to come up with stories, and he said, what do you think Pete should do tonight? And they would give him sort of another thing that Pete could do, and then he would make up a story, which was easier. Then, after a while, he was like, kids are only so creative too, and he got tired of that, and he basically said, here's your choice. Shipwrecked Pete can do this, or shipwrecked Pete can go to the other side of the island, or he can wrestle with the octopus, or he started giving them choices, and they would choose, and he would begin to tell a story based on that. And at some point, he was a writer, and it hit him like, maybe I could make money out of that, and that's how the whole story happened. Now, another interesting thing about R.A. Montgomery, and the reason that I think some of the sort of the ethos of this series works so well for life, is he was actually an aspiring preacher at one point. I read in his wiki that he dropped out of Yale Divinity School, which I always thought was like a candy-making school, which shows that I didn't go to divinity school. But no, it's not, really. It's not making candy. It's seminary. It's the fancy way of saying seminary, and I didn't go to either kind, fancy or non-fancy, clearly. My choose your own adventure, if you want to try this, kids, is I dropped out of college in my third year with 2 full ride scholarships so that I could paint houses for a living. So you try that if you would like. It's such an adventure. But R.A. Montgomery dropped out of Yale Divinity School, believe it or not. And so I really feel like, as I read especially this warning, have you ever read the warning at the front of these original Choose Your Own Adventure books? I'm going to read it to you because it's sort of like, oh, wow, this is interesting how he laid this out. He said, warning, do not read this book straight through from beginning to end. These pages contain many different adventures. And you can go on in the cave of time. From time to time, as you read along, you'll be asked to make a choice, right? It says your choice may lead to success or disaster. And the adventures you take are a result of your choice. You are responsible because you chose. After you make a choice, follow the instructions and see what happened next. And remember, you cannot go back. Think carefully before you make the move, for one mistake can be your last, or it may lead you to fame and fortune. And I was thinking about that. I was like, you know what? That's pretty true. Like, not making a choice is making a choice, right? Like, just if you chose, like, and I don't know why you would do this, but somebody's probably done this, just like, I'm going to just read straight through this book and ignore all of the directions. I'm just going to go and read. It wouldn't make much sense, but it was also completely ruined the experience, because by not making a choice, you just read a book full of gibberish. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't work. But that's a possibility in life, right? Like, we can say, I'm not going to make choices. I'm just going to get up. And it's interesting how life can sort of has certain momentum and inertia. That you can, if you wish, you could not make any scary choices. You could sort of just get up and go to work, and if they close down that factory, move to the next one. And you could spend your entire life sort of missing out on adventure, and that's what R.A. Montgomery said. He said, the first thing you have to do is decide, like, you are going to make a choice, wrong or right, and that's what he said next. And this is so important. I was like, you know what? I think he had life right when he wrote this, that he said, guess what? You are responsible because you chose. And I know that's super unpopular in 2020 to say, but guess what? Our choices that we make, and he knew this even back, you know, as he's writing children's book, they affect all of our other choices, right? Like, my choice to one day not go to school has affected what I did. Now, I would go, hey, I enjoy what I do, and I'm blessed to make a living for my family, but it definitely affects what I'm allowed to do for the rest of my life, unless I would choose to go back to school, which would be a nightmare, because I can barely read. Like, I got dumber every year after I graduated. Didn't graduate. There, see, I said that wrong. But here's the thing, like, all of our choices, like, you know, moving into a certain field or moving to a different city or marrying someone or not marrying someone or having children or not having children or having pets even. Like, all of these things, if we will take responsibility and realize, like, or creating debt or agreeing to buy something or agreeing to co-sign for something, all of these choices, not only do they affect that day, but the truth is, and R.A. Montgomery knew that, like, even in a story written for children, they affect all your other choices. And then he said something super powerful. And here's the funny story about this. In the initial books, it said this. It says, at any time, no, it says, warning, you cannot go back. Think carefully before you move. Now, if you would buy a later version of these same books, like that were written or that were put out in like the 90s or later, many of them say this. Notice the subtle change. It's not subtle at all. It says, at any time, you can go back and you can make another choice and you could alter the path of your story and change its result. They changed that because, oh my goodness, children shouldn't be allowed to make a choice in a book about an ending and feel bad about getting killed by the sea monster. So eventually they did change that, but I think he was right initially, and I know he was right in life, that you can't go back. We're writing our life story, and no do-overs. Like, yes, there's redemption. Yes, there's grace. Yes, there's a chance to start again. But I know a guy who says forgiveness is not a time machine way too often, because just because we start again, it doesn't erase our past. And so here's the great news, I think, of this whole series. And the thing, if nothing else you take away, I hope you take away this year, and maybe 2020 will be a different year because of that. Like, there's more than one ending to your life story. Like, you can choose to completely change not only your life, but you could change your family for generations. It happens. It happens all the time, all the time. And this is not just a Don Record thing. This is not just pop culture. This is not just something that, oh, maybe that's true, maybe that's not. I think Scripture supports it. And last week, this was one of the verses we used. It says, we can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. And that's why I'm excited today to go, hey, this is not just me saying you can choose your own adventure, but God, through thousands of years of prophets and people and fishermen and different people that we can't even imagine would fit together, has given us this record of his plan for humanity, of his greater overall story. It's sort of like we have a written instruction book, not from R.A. Montgomery about how to get through a choose-your-own-adventure book, but from God himself, the creator of the universe, who said, we can make, through Solomon, we can make our own plans, but just like a choose-your-own-adventure book, there's a good outcome and there's a bad outcome. R.A. Montgomery would have said it could lead to fame and fortune or disaster, and you get to choose. And so my question this morning, and the thing that I want to hopefully that we could work through, that I've been really thinking a lot about as I prepared this week, is if we can make a choice, and if there are choices that lead to good and choices that lead to disaster, why don't we just always choose to go with success, right? Like, why don't we always just choose to do the financial decision that will make sure that we're, you know, financially independent when we retire? Like, why doesn't everyone do that? I mean, why would there be any other choice? Or why don't we make life choices or health choices that mean that we're all going to be fit and fabulous in our 50s? I just put that together. Like, but all of these things, like, we could make great choices, and we know many times the path, but why don't we always? And kind of a bigger question is, why do we make decisions that we know are going to turn out poorly, or at least we may not be able to see the future, but we've seen them turn out poorly for others, right? Like, nobody's had a good experience with 14 beers of Chili's. It's not going to go well. We know that. And so why do we do that? Like, we can look at other people's lives as humans. We're not stupid. Like, we can see that that choice led to disaster and pain and trouble and bankruptcy or divorce or jail or prison or, you know, hey, that's going to lead to something terrible every time, but yet we'll still do it. And here's what I'm, I don't even know how to answer this one. Like, why don't we even keep our New Year's resolution? It's sort of a joke, right? Like, that we all make New Year's resolutions and we don't keep them. Here's 2020's top resolutions. I was thinking, like, oh yeah, this pretty much makes sense. Manage finances better, drill down a little bit, get out of debt, make more money, get healthier, be more active, lose weight. Like, yeah, we've probably, many of us, made these resolutions, and I'm not making fun of them. I'm not saying they're pointless. I'm saying, like, if you think about every one of these resolutions, they could change your life, right? Right? Maybe not be more eco-friendly, unless you're a dolphin. That would probably help you. But learn a new skill, absolutely. Improve social connections. Improve mental well-being. All of those things, like lose weight, all of those things could change your life. And maybe some of them have generational things, like, you know, manage finances better. Maybe you could leave a legacy for your kids. Like, there's nothing about that that's you know, wouldn't be helpful. And we know that. This is my point. Like, as humans, we make these kind of resolutions because they're good. So why doesn't everyone keep them? Why don't we end up at the end of the year going, yeah, I did that. And I lost weight and I saved money and I got out of debt. And now I have three more friends. And I'm not talking about on Facebook, right? Like, real friends, because I actually spent time with people. And so I don't know. I never make resolutions, but I'm going to tell you my resolution. and the reason why I'm telling you this is because it covers most of these, other than, I think it's going to help me manage my finances better, definitely eat healthier, be more active, maybe not. I'm definitely going to lose weight. I don't know if I'm going to improve my mental well-being. I don't even know if that's possible. Probably, most of these will be covered with this one resolution. And this is not for you to do. I just want to tell you what I've made this choice. And it's very simple. I'm not going into a Sheetz in 2020 ever. Now, here's why. because I am powerless against baked goods. I can't. Like, everything, like, I know the right thing to do. Like, I know not to buy cookies. I know. But there's this alley of cookies, right? And I go in there, and I'm like, I'm going to buy a Diet Mountain Dew or a coffee, and I'm going to pay for gas. And I have just cookies leaping into my arms. And so I did a little figuring this year, and I spent over over $20 a week and over 10 pounds. I get, like, there's $1,000 a year and 10 pounds of fat around my gut from this one decision. And I know that's not rational. I know, and please, it's funny, like, I hope you're, Carolee, I invited a lady before the first of the year, because I really have not been in Sheetz all year because I decided this. but I invited a lady from Sheetz, and I was like, wouldn't it be ironic if she showed up today? And I'm like, don't go, it's the devil. Now, I'm not saying that. Please, please, go into Sheetz. Like, I love Sheetz. They're wonderful. But I'm telling you, like, it isn't rational, but I'm not going in there anymore. And think about this, like, that one stupid decision. I know it's silly, and I know you could go in there without buying cookies. No, I cannot. It's impossible. It's like the metric system. No one can understand it, but I can't do it. It's not possible. But here's the thing, like, but let's just say I am successful. I'm 11 days in. I'm 11 days Sheetz clean, baby. I can do this. Think about this. Now think about this. Like, what if that's $1,000 I don't spend? Michelle's like, she never likes what I says, but she's applauding this one. I know that. Like, I'm speaking like, yes, that would be great if I didn't have Sheetz on the credit card every day. But like, imagine, like, what if I saved $1,000 and I lost 10 pounds? I mean, in 20 years, I'd have $20,000 and I'd weigh zero. It would be, no, that was, that's not how it's going to work. But I mean, it could have really, I've done the math, like it would be, like that could be life-changing. And that's a irrational, like one simple choice. Just don't go in that building. And someone goes, you're going to go in Rutter's? Yes, I am, because I don't care about Rutter's. Nothing in Rutter's makes me happy. I don't know why. It's the stupid cookies and cheese. So here's the question. Let me pause that here. Can we go back to this clip? Sorry, that wasn't the keynote's fault, Tyler. That was me. So we're going to play the clip here in a second. But there was something in the clip, like.
Anyway,
check this out.
R.I.P. R.A. Montgomery.
Good luck in your new adventure.
Hope he chose heaven. Hope he chose heaven. Hope he chose heaven.
Did you? I noticed that in this clip, and it was like he was joking and kind of being snarky. That's, was it Harvey Levin from TMZ? But like, he brought up a good point, I think, actually. Like, okay, probably pretty mean to say it about a person, but okay, if we can make choices, like simple choices, like I'm not going to go in Sheetz, and we can make resolutions like, hey, I'm going to manage my finances, I'm going to get, and they change forever. Like, why do we make bad choices instead? And if we could choose heaven, even though probably TMZ was being a little snarky there, like, why wouldn't everyone do that? What is it about us as humans? What is it about us as humans that make us make bad decisions or not make decisions that are good decisions? And if you think that Harvey Levin was being harsh, or maybe I'm being harsh as a preacher this morning, like, it's what Jesus said. I mean, listen to what Jesus said. This is Matthew 7. He said, you can enter God's kingdom through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad. And you just thought that was an AC/DC song. It is not. And its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Isn't that interesting that Jesus knew back then, this ex-carpenter knew this thing about life that's still true today, that good choices are very simple. Like, we know what to do. Like, I know not to buy cookies, and you know not to smoke that or eat that or drink that or whatever is causing trouble in your life. We all know it. But most people, wide is the way. The highway to hell is wide. And what he's saying there is, like, both literally and figuratively, like, it's easy to make wrong choices. It's easy to wind up in the wrong place. It's easy to wind up, you know, broke and stupid and fat and not fit. And all those things are so easy for us because that's just human nature for some reason. And he said the same thing about our end result, like where we will spend eternity is the same sort of thing. And so I thought we should work on that. Because if we're going to choose our own adventure, if we're all going to decide like we could change our life, we don't have to just go through life and just sort of take the next thing. We're writing our life story right now. Next week, we're going to pray for each other because I know a lot of us are going through difficult things. But I'm actually going to read to you, just kind of preview. Someone wrote their own obituary, and it's fascinating because here's the thing, like really, I don't want to be super, super dark, you know, even though this book is probably the least popular of the Choose Your Own Adventure books, I think, because there's only one ending, but I mean, like we're sort of writing our own obituary, all right? We're at least writing the things that they're going to tell about us in our future. And so I thought we'd go back. Jesus was very clear on this, but I want to go back to the original Choose Your Own Adventure book, which was clearly Moses. In studying, Moses was the originator of all of these things. And so I want to read to you just a few lines from a speech from Deuteronomy. And I know you never thought this, like, I should read Deuteronomy. But you should, because in chapters 29, 30, and 31, I think is one of the most sort of interesting spectacles you can imagine. Because here's a guy, Moses, who led his country from bondage in Egypt out into being a new nation. Like they were slaves and they sort of walked out with the wealth of Egypt and God led them. And then they wander around for 40 years in the desert. But in the meantime, like they're turning into this powerful nation without even sort of realizing it. And then they're going into this new land to take it over. And Moses is 120 years old and God tells him like, hey, love what you've done around here, but you're not the guy to lead. You're not the guy to lead the country into the new place, and so you're going to die. And so Moses has this really unique opportunity. Moses is told by God that he's going to die, and he stands up, and he basically gives a speech. He says, I'm 120 years old. You guys know me. Like, I was 40 when I got exiled, and he tells this whole story, and like, he had to go work out in the desert, and then he came back and said, let my people go, and I'm shortening it a little bit, but he knows he's going to die, and so you can imagine, like, what if this leader that's been with them for, you know, 80 years leading them, like, what would he say to the people? And it's really interesting because he sort of starts the speech like this, and it's not what you would think. He says, in the future, when you experience all these blessings, because he's been talking about, hey, we've been blessed in the past, and God's going to provide for us in the new land, and we're going to be set. But he says, in the future, when you experience all these blessings and the curses I have listed for you, because he's also said, if you don't follow God, you've seen when we follow God, we got our freedom, we're a nation now, we're a factor, like we're going to go take over. But he said also, if you don't follow God, like you remember the slavery thing, like that's coming back, like there's blessings and curses. So he says, when you experience all the blessings and all the curses I have listed for you, and when you're living among the nations to which the Lord your God has exiled you, take to heart these instructions. So imagine this, like Moses in his original sort of choose your own adventure address says, I know that you are going to screw up. In fact, I knew that you were going to screw this thing up. And this is not like years after they'd been living in the land. This is not like 200 years after their successes. He's like, no, before. That's what's so amazing about this story. Like, you would have to be a time traveler. Doctor Who couldn't write this, because he's like saying, before we move in and before God blesses us, I'm just telling you, you're going to make all the wrong choices. And because of that, you're going to wind up scattered and you're going to wind up exiled into other lands. And then God is going to bring you back, which if you think just that part of Scripture alone, just that part of Scripture alone, think about how amazing it is that there is a nation called Israel today. Like, that should make you go, is there a God? I wonder, because there is a nation of Israel today, same people brought back into their land, just like was predicted, you know, 4,000 years before. But anyway, he starts his story, his speech, saying, I know you're going to screw up, and I know you're going to mess this up, and I know you're going to make all the wrong choices. And when you do, I hope you'll remember this. And here's the way he ends up. And I think this is so, so important to you and I. Because he's saying, at the end of all of that, once you've made bad choices, because guess what, folks? Like, if we start in 2020 and go, we're going to make all the right choose-your-own-adventure choices from now on. When there's a choice, we're going to somehow, you know, we're going to pray through, and we're going to know, and God's going to tell us, and we're never going to make a wrong choice again. You still have to deal with all those bad choices you and I have made in the past. So let me read this to you, because I think it's so interesting. He said this. He said, this command I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you. And it's not beyond your reach. He's going, this is not something you can't do, and this is not something you can't understand. He said, it's not kept in heaven, so distant that you must ask, who will go up into heaven and bring it down so that we can hear it and obey? He's like, this is not mysticism. This is not like something, oh, this is some spiritual truth that you need a priest to tell you about. Or, hey, this is some spiritual truth that, wow, you need a preacher to explain it to. You need someone who goes to divinity school. And that's not candy-making school. Moses knew that. Like, he was smart. He said, no, it's not kept in heaven so distant that you must ask, who will go up into heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey? And it's not kept beyond the sea, so far away that you must ask, who will cross the sea and bring it to us so that we can hear and obey? So he's saying, think about this. He's saying, it's not so intellectually and spiritually beyond you that you can't understand it. And it's not even hard to reach, right? He's like, it's right here, right now. Like, you don't even have to spend, like, go on a quest, you know, some vision quest and go across the sea and learn from some guru up on a mountain like Batman. None of that. Like, this is accessible. He said, the message is very close at hand, and it is on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees and regulations by walking in his ways. And you might go, yeah, but that's Moses. But yeah, but he was talking to Israelites, not to people like me. But listen, man, that's exactly, if you're a Christian here this morning or if you're interested in Christianity, that's exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said it this way. He said, I am the gate, and those who come in through me will be saved, and they will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. And by the thief, he's been leading up to this, talking about Satan, a real thing, a real being called Satan, the devil, that's there to steal from you and kill you and destroy your future. He said, my purpose, Jesus's purpose, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Now, here's the thing I want you to realize. Like, neither Moses or Jesus sounded like they were talking about going to a place where you would sit on a cloud and play a harp, right? Like, when we think heaven, we go, oh, someday when I die, you know, I'll go and knock on the door and St. Peter will let me in because I've done more good things than bad. No, 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 none of that. None of that. Now, is there another dimension, another place we go after death? Well, that's the whole point of Jesus. He came back and said, yeah, hey, I went there and I'm going to go back there. I just want to let you know it's there because no one else has ever gone before and come back. That's my job. That's, I don't want to spoil Easter for you, but that's what Easter is about. But he was saying, like, on this earth, leading up to that place, you could live a kind of life, and if you think about it, like, we often like to talk about, oh, there was the law of Moses, and there was. And, you know, well, Jesus was about grace and forgiveness. He was. But he said, I didn't come to break the laws of Moses. I came to fulfill them. And so both of them were talking about, if you would make a choice to do something different, it would result in, you know, goodness and not destruction, and success and not failure in this life leading into the next. That's what I want you to get here. This is not some, oh, in the future, maybe then you'll get in, you get your ticket punch and you go to heaven. He's like, no, no, no. This is all part of one thing. And also then, please understand, this is also not saying, oh, that's awesome because that means I'm going to be rich and powerful here on earth and I'll never have a problem. Well, if that were true, then all of Jesus' followers really had it wrong because all of them ended up dying violent death. But There's something in between that, like going, hey, I'm not saying it'll be easy for you on this earth. In fact, Jesus said, be aware there will be troubles, but I have overcome this world. He's just saying, like, everybody has troubles. Everyone has failures and problems and bankruptcies and divorces and surgeries and all, and kids that are out of control and all of these things that we have, and broken cars and broken lives. And we have all these things, but it's possible if you would sort of make a different choice. Like, it's possible to walk through all of that and it lead to heaven and not hell. So why wouldn't everyone choose that? You know, like, as I was watching that TMZ thing, I was like, kind of crude, but it makes a good point. Like, I hope the writer of the Choose Your Own Adventure books chose heaven, because that would be really sadly ironic if he didn't. And I don't know the answer to that. I pray he did. But why would we choose not only, you know, in the future and now? Why wouldn't we make the choice every time? Well, I think R.A. Montgomery, for wherever he was in that choice, I think he knew the answer. And I think that's why these books should sort of guide us. He said, you know, don't just read this book straight through. And that would be my caution to you this morning. Not that you could just read your life through, but guess what? You know what'll get in the way of living life? Like, you know that, right? Like, all of those resolutions I put up on the board and all of, like, my plan, like, I'm not going to go in sheets and I'm going to save $1,000 and lose 10 pounds. Like, you know what's going to stop that? Not someday when I wake up and make a choice to break my resolution, or you're going to make a choice to break your resolution to get out of debt or any of those things. You know what's going to happen? Life. The thing that will happen is, like, one day it'll just be inconvenient not to do that. It'll be inconvenient not to do that thing that you set out to do. And sort of like, just like it's so easy, just it'd be easier just to read those books just straight through, not turn the page. And here's another thing that he was pretty clear of, and it's true. And this is why I'm so, so grateful for the grace of God. Because, man, we've already made choices. Everyone in this room, even if you're 11 years old, you've probably already made choices that will affect your choices for the rest of your life. It's just the way it works. But here's the great news from Moses, and I don't want you to miss this. And it's another example of where, you know, we make a big deal about, like, oh, there was, you know, the Old Testament, that's the Jewish books, and then there's Jesus, and we, as Christians, we go, oh, that's Christianity. Well, years later, it was called Christianity, but he was a Jewish dude following Jewish law. Because I want you to notice what Moses said. He said, I command you to love the Lord your God. Kind of like we have written out on that wall out there. Love God, love people. And because of that, we would take action. That's the whole idea of Action Church. But that's sort of an odd word choice, isn't it? Because you would think he would say, hey, you better listen to these. Remember, he's the guy who brought the commandments down. Like, you better listen to these commandments that God wrote on stone the second time after I broke the first one, man. Like, this is the original tablet. You should follow what it says. But here's the thing. He said, no, no, no. You should change what you love. And I guess that's true. In fact, I know it's true. And I want Michael to come back up here, but I've been thinking a lot about it. Like, that's irrational in a sense, right? But it might be the only thing that would work. In fact, I know it's the only thing that works. Because if I give you a checklist, let's say 10 commandments, right? That if you read them, all make pretty good sense. Like, I want to live in a place where people aren't going to steal from me, kill me, take my stuff, you know, sleep with my wife. Like, all of those things are good things. Let's just be clear about that. Even though they're out of fashion, they're all good things. But for some reason, as Moses knew, people of Israel could not, they just couldn't seem to do it. And so what they did, and this is what we do, oh my goodness, we do this as, like, people and politicians and religious people and preachers, like, what they did is they go, oh, okay, okay, what we need is more rules, right? Like, we need more laws. That's what our Congress gets together every year, and they go, we need to write more laws because people are messing up with the laws we have. So if we pass more laws, then... And never has really worked, but that was the thought. Like, so by the time Jesus came along, they had 640 laws, and they were still breaking them. And so what Jesus said is, you know what you ought to do? Just a couple things. Love God with all your heart. And love your neighbor as yourself. And I know what you're saying. Like, that's not going to fix everything, Don. That's irrational. That can't work for me. I get it. And I know you're thinking the same thing about this. Like, it's dumb not to go in sheets. I agree. Dumb. Doesn't make any sense. Like, a 51-year-old man should be able to go into sheets and just not buy cookies. Like, that should be possible. But I'm having to do something maybe a little crazy and maybe a little irrational and maybe something that other people are just not going to understand. But if I keep doing that, like, it could change, well, not everything, but I could be lighter and richer. That would be something good, right? Like, but here's the thing, like, so that's my thing. I want Michael to play a song, but I'm just thinking, like, we can't go back. Like, you can't go back and change what you've done in the past. And I know it sounds silly in a sense for me to come up here and go, oh, yeah, in 2020, we've got self-driving cars, and, like, we've got all of these amazing things, and you should follow. You should follow somebody that a guy named Moses was talking about standing on the top of a mountain in the desert thousands of years ago. Or you should follow this carpenter. Oh, yeah, he was an ex-carpenter. And I don't even know what kind of work, what line he was in. I don't know if he did trim carpet, but you should follow him because they killed him. And his followers said he lived. And I know that sounds irrational, but just think about this. Like, what if it takes something like that? And I'm betting it does. To change our life story. Like, imagine if you could talk to R.A. Montgomery. It'd be creepy right now because he's so dead. But imagine, like, you were reading through the book and you didn't cheat and you didn't go ahead, but you went, what if, you know, I was thinking about this. R.A. Montgomery wrote this for his children. In fact, he was telling the stories to his children. And I wonder, I was like, I don't know if they ever did this, but he would say, hey, what should Shipwreck Pete do? Should he go to the other side of the island? Or should he, you know, build a boat and sail away, you know, and then he would tell the story and it would turn out good or bad. But I wonder if he was sitting by their bed telling the story. I wonder, I don't know, probably not. Did they ever go, hey, Dad, which one's the right call? Which one? You're writing the story, like, which is the best ending? And even though it sounds irrational, and even though it sounds sort of like silly going, hey, you should follow God, or hey, you should give your life to Jesus, and you should do what he said. Well, guess what? If there's a creator, and he's writing this story, it would be sort of like R.A. Montgomery's kids going, hey, Dad, which one's the right path? Because I'd like to know, and I'd like it to end well. And so I want to pray with you for that path. And then next week, we're going to talk about something. We're writing our, not just our life story, but we're writing our obituary every week. And so, dear Jesus, God in heaven, we are flawed people, and we all are. And it's just sort of baked into our DNA. And God, we're not good at making the right choice, even when we know what the right choice is. But most of the time, we're not even sure. And God, sort of the further we get away from Moses and the further we get away through the years from Jesus and sort of the more mechanical and wise we become in intellectual pursuits and technology, it just seems further and further away that we could follow someone like Jesus or someone like Moses and it would actually be effective. But God, we pray that you would help us and give us the faith to take that little leap, to do something that's slightly irrational. And that, God, that you would prove to us through our lives that those tiny little changes that we make because of Jesus and because of God and the about faces that we make, that they're actually changing us for all eternity and our world around us. God, we trust you. And God, we pray especially for all of those this week who are just struggling with just difficult, difficult situation in our church family. God, I pray that you give them strength, and I pray that you give them courage. But God, I pray that in the midst of this life thing that's going on, that they wouldn't miss sort of the choices that they have to change their life and their family forever. In your name we pray, amen.